on that. As you saw the video presentation, we tried to squeeze in about 20 years of information in 11 minutes, which I hope that you were not too overwhelmed and the slides moving a little too fast. At least, you know, you get a sense of the different types of ministries. We are still in South Africa, and the Lord hasn't moved us, and we haven't put our lives on pause. We've had to plug into the ministries in Johannesburg, South Africa, and we are continuing ministries in Congo through Bible teaching. I will make two trips a year to Congo and spend 2 weeks at a time in those two trips, where we will be teaching block courses of doctrine, books of the Bible, continuing to train national men. Civil war can change a lot in the lives of missionaries and in the lives of the people in Congo. And one of the things that the civil war did for us was to make us realize that we are not going to be there forever, and that our lives can change very quickly. In fact, death does that. Death comes and can change your life. And you can be in a place that you've spent 15 years and find yourselves in the space of just a few weeks in another place. And we've been there for almost 6 years, and we could find ourselves somewhere else, because God is Lord of the harvest. He's in control of our lives. He directs us and moves us wherever He wishes and wants us to be. I trust your life is that way, that your moves and that your plans and what you do is not based upon your decisions, but based upon God's will for your life. And so as we continue with these different ministries, we covered your prayers with the radio program. The Lord has allowed that to continue now for 38 years. The radio broadcast has continued to Congo. And Transworld Radio, who we use to air our radio programs, has been in South Africa for 40 years. So they started 2 years before the radio program did. So it's a program that has been around and is appreciated in Congo. We use it in two forms. We use it for evangelistic outreach, and we use it for encouraging the believers that are in remote villages where there aren't any churches that they can go to, but they can hear the Word of God on the radio 30 minutes every single day of the year. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14. And to verse 17, you talk about, going to the Golden Corral. You can't do fast food there. You can't just sit down and quickly eat there. When you go to the Golden Corral, you know, there's just so much that you're going to choose from and what you're going to want to eat. And you want to be able to sit there and chew on it for a while. While Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 14 and 16 are those kind of verses, but unfortunately we don't have that much time to go through them. But something that I'd like, that people ask me, they're not necessarily saved people or churched people, but when they hear about a missionary, they think about social outreach. They think about helping people socially. They think about helping people in different forms. And then the next question they may ask you is, well, when is there ever going to be peace in Africa? I mean, Africa is notorious. All the different countries that have a form of civil war or strife within them. We have Central African Republic now that's fighting between Islam and Christian. We have that, in fact, a lot around in the northern parts of Africa and down towards the east part of Africa. You have Congo, where we've experienced the civil war, which still has these flare-ups of fighting out in the eastern part of Congo. And, people ask the question, when will there ever be peace? And how can we bring this peace? And a lot of times we as missionaries are associated with that, and they would ask us, so what are you doing to bring about this peace? Well, in the light of that question, I thought, you know, what am I going to answer? The only answer I have is found in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 14 to 17, is that really I'm not the one that's going to be bringing the peace. We're going to look at that real quickly in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But for right now, let's get down, what is this peace that people are looking for? Who brings this peace that people are looking for? And we will find that theology or that doctrine, we will find that, I should say, we'll find the doctrine here in Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll find the working out of that doctrine in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that putting feet on this peace, we are the feet. And we are the ones that are going to go out with this. So verse 14 says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance, for to make in himself twain one new man." So making peace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 14 and 15. You see, the world says we've got to do something to make peace. They formed the United Nations. They formed many things like that. They formed SADC. SADC is a African like United Nations that comes together, and SADC is all the southern sub-Sahara countries that form this SADC, and if there's fighting or if there's something that needs to be dealt with, they will send these forces to go and bring peace. And it doesn't work. The United Nations has been in Africa or in Congo for many, many years. They can bring some form of stability, but they can never bring peace to those areas. And the reason is that they cannot bring peace to these areas is because they themselves do not have peace. They themselves don't have the right form of peace. So we find that there are countries that are fighting one another, and they are fighting not for truth. They are fighting for power. And Central African Republic is not about truth. It's not about the right, about Christian and about the Muslim being right. It's about who is going to have the power to run that country. But as a missionary, my responsibility is to go to a country that's not my own country, not to educate them about my country, but to bring to them the truth of the gospel found in Jesus Christ. Not how I live or what I do in my country, but what Jesus Christ can do through the death that he died on the cross, through the resurrection of God raising him from the dead. That's why we go with the gospel to Africa, is because of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that promised coming of Jesus Christ for the church. So we have this problem of peace throughout Africa. We have this problem of peace throughout the whole world. And in this chapter, if you can, in your minds, form a triangle in your minds. We're going to kind of move real quickly here. Make a triangle in your minds. And on the top of the triangle, you have God. And then on the bottom of the triangle from our text, as we read, he talks about making twain or two, one. And then on the bottom here, you have the Jews and the Gentiles. And so this is now taking it back to that time, because those were the people, the Jews and the Gentiles. And in fact, you can put any tribe of people in there. You can put the Zulus and the Sotus, which are tribes in South Africa. You can put South Africans and Botswanans. You can put Zimbabweans and Zambians. You can put Nigerians and Somalians. You can just put all kinds of different tribes, Americans and Jews on the bottom of the triangle, just whoever you want. And we have God on the top of the triangle, and then put a T in the middle of the triangle. And this T basically stops interconnecting, okay? So you have these people seeking God. You have the Zulu man who's seeking God. You have the man in Congo seeking God, and he has a whole system that is figure out how he's going to get to God. And of course he doesn't get to God because it's a religious system that he's trying to work through. Much of it, it's even in their culture. You know, when you work in South Africa, we are working with people that have a culture that is very much like that of the Jews. The Jewish people's culture was saturated with the law because it was the law. It's what they had to do. It's what's how they had to live. And so now you have the Zulu man who within his culture from the young age, he has learned to about the witch doctor. He has taught about the culture of slaughtering a cow. He has learned about slaughtering a chicken. And it's all in his culture. He is brought up that way. It is part of who he is as a Zulu man or as a Sotho man or as a Tswana man. And so it's all part of their culture. So when they come to Christ, they have to sift through their culture to find out that which is contrary to the Lord. But we have these two that are two separate, the Jews and the Gentiles or whatever nation. They all want and desire God, but there is a problem. The Bible says here, the middle wall of partition. That's that T. So sin came, and sin does what? Two things. Separates us from God. Secondly, it separates us from one another. So the Jew and the Gentile, they were separated because of sin. They could not talk to each other. They could not communicate with each other on that same level. Let me use Africa as a good example. Right now, Central African Republic, right, or in Congo, we have the Hutus, the Tutsis, the Mai Mai, the Intahamwe. We've got all these different tribes of people, and they cannot see eye to eye. They cannot see each other. We have up in, you know, Russia, you know, I don't want to get too political, but we've got countries and different things happening and people who can't see face to face and eye to eye and speak with one another. And it's all because of what we want, where we're supposed to be, and our desire for what, you know, we want to form in our own country. And so there's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of power struggle, but yet at the same time desiring to reach God. But we cannot reach God because of the barrier of sin. So sin not only robs me, you know what? Sin robs the good communication between a saved spouse and an unsaved spouse. It robs between saved children and unsaved parents to be able to communicate, because sin is that, as the Bible says this morning, the wall, middle wall of partition. But verse 14 is our joy. The verse 14 is exciting because verse 14 says, having abolished in his flesh, this is Jesus Christ, abolishing in the flesh the enmity, the fighting, the strife, the indifference that we find in the world, Jesus Christ abolishing this in his flesh. Now you change that T to a cross. And I'm sorry, I was going to put a PowerPoint presentation together. Haven't got there yet. But, you know, triangle, God, Jew, Gentile, T. Stop. You know? They cannot communicate with God because of sin, cannot be in the presence of God because of sin, can't get along with everybody that's around me because of sin. And then Jesus Christ, God's gift to us, the cross, the T changes to the cross. That's how God accomplishes peace. Peace is not accomplished through religion. Peace is not, and we try that so often. We go there and we set up all forms of religion and different ways of trying to reach people, and it works for a while. You cannot make a person, you can make someone into a religious person, but you cannot make somebody into Christ-like person. You cannot make somebody into a Christian, a saved person. He must come to Jesus Christ. It goes on and says, even the law of commandments contained in the ordinance to make that for to the to make in himself of twain one new man. You see, God is in the business of making new people. He's not in the business of reforming old people into something that looks new. When we get saved, he makes us into a new creature. And that's what happens when God reconciles, when God brings two nations together, when God brings two people together, when God brings us to himself, we come as new creatures, new man, so making peace. You know, the Congo you start off with Belgium, Congo. If you know, remember your history and your geography. And then there was a rebellion, then it became Zaire, and then there was a civil war, then it became Congo again, and then there was a change to the Democratic Republic of Congo, and that's where they are today. And they've had four different flags, and all this is in their mind, we must start anew with something so that we can go forward. And you know what? Every single time, they fall short. Just as with our sin, we fall short before God. Only through Christ can we have access to God. Only through Christ who breaks down that wall that separates me from others and separates me from God, only then can peace happen. Peace will not come through a United Nations. Peace will not come through passing out arms to different groups that are going to fight for what is right. And sometimes we can say, hey, they are the good guys. But listen, it's not going to come through that. What it's going to come through is Jesus Christ who makes peace. And the peace is made when we become new men in Christ. When that Zulu man trusts Jesus Christ as personal Savior and sits down across the table from a man that we refer to as a boer, which just means farmer, and has no animosity against him for the treatment that he got for the many, many years of apartheid. Sits and comes together. We have a church of young people today, black, white, colored. In South Africa, we have a colored generation, and the colored generations are mulattoes. So whenever you hear about the different ethnic groups in South Africa, we have black people, we have white people, we have got colored people, Indian people, Chinese people. We have many, many nationalities and tribes in South Africa. And you know, it's a wonderful thing to come on a Sunday morning and to look out and to see all these different people, different ethnic groups, different faces, different colors, and they all together, not because I'm a good guy and I'm able to put them all together and make peace, but because of Christ who makes the new man. And now we can, on that basis, we can have peace with one another. We can have peace with one another. Not only do we have peace with one another, we have peace with God. There is no condemnation now. We don't face that. We have peace in Christ. Verse 16, it says, and that he might reconcile both unto God one body. You see, God is in the business of making a one body, the body of Christ. He's not making a system of religious things. He's making the body of Christ. One body, that he may reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And then verse 17 says, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. And that's, of course, talking about the Jew who was seemed so much closer to God than the Gentile, but yet God brings them all close to himself through the cross. See, that isn't that wonderful? That's the doctrine. That is what we teach. We are teaching that come to church and be a Baptist. That's going to bring you peace. I mean, come to church and be religious. That's going to make. Come to church and read your Bible, and that's going to bring peace in your life. No, Christ and the cross is going to bring peace in your life. The man hanging on the tree that was, or the cross his face, his visage was so marred for us. The one who was crucified so that we can have peace. I think that's a paradox, isn't it? In that peace can come through that. But that is the only way. Let's quickly go, for the sake of time, to now the book of Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. And we're going to move here. It says, for the love of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one man die for all, then we are all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. What logic! That is so wonderful. Just read those verses over and over again. Is you will ask yourself the question, and we work in our family. I mean, my family is, we are far from being a perfect family. I tell you about, siblings, rivalry, put them all in a confined car. You know, I almost feel like putting a partition, behind my seat, and it's like, don't want to hear them, it's like, somebody's sitting on this, and somebody looked at me like that, and this and that, and the wonderful thing is that as Christ begins to work in our lives, we move away from selfishness to realizing it's not about me. Because you know what? That brings peace. You know what's happening in the eastern part of Congo? It's about land. It's about a fighting that never started just the other day. We're talking hundreds of years between different factions and different people that have fought over land. And you know what what it is all about? Selfishness. This is mine. This is ours. We're going to take it. You don't need it. You don't deserve it. It's not for you. It's for me. When we get saved, that whole perspective changes, because now it's not about us. It's now said, not henceforth live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for them. The word there, constrain, it's not our love that constrains. It's the love that he had for us that constrains us, that pushes us, that impels us, presses us to want to do service for God. If it was left up to me, I wouldn't do it. But when I am reminded of that love towards me, then I am constrained. I am pressed to now do something. Because it's not about myself, but it's about he who loves me. Then I want to ask, verse 16 says, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You see, when a husband and wife, we have a church that supports us in a little town in West Virginia. It's called Yeager, West Virginia. And it's a little mining town. I mean, if you drive through and you blink, you'll miss the town. I mean, the only thing that helps you remember that there's a town is there's a stop street. And you stop and you can look, and you drive through. And there's a lady in that church, a very, very small little church. If they have 10 people or 15 people, they are maxed out. It's just a little town. And she prayed for her husband. They've been married for 40 years. And for 30 of those years, she prayed that her husband would get saved. And she prayed for those 30 years, and in one day, someone came and shared the gospel with him, and he got saved. Can I tell you what? How much has changed in that family? You know why? Because he became a new man and now could communicate to his wife, because she's a new person in Christ. And you can imagine of all the goings on of not being able to communicate, not being able to be compatible. Think through that process. A saved woman and an unsaved man. I don't know what she lived through, or a saved man and an unsaved wife. But isn't it wonderful that He makes us all one, new in Christ? Now, we move on here. All things become new, verse 18, and all things are of God who hath reconciled us to Himself. God reconciles us to Himself. As He reconciles us to Himself, so He reconciles me to you. Now we can talk. Now we can communicate. Now we can understand one another. Now we can do the things that we do together as a body of Christ. Why? Because you know more than me and I know more than you know. It's about not about us. It's not about our abilities. It's about the new man, the new woman that we are in Christ. And we now function together as what He wants to do, the one body. Reconciling. Now, verse 18. This is our responsibility. This is now putting feet on the doctrine of reconciliation. God reconciling, bringing peace into the world. This is putting on feet. Verse 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know what? When you get saved, you're given that ministry. It's not just given to the pastors, not just given to the deacons and the elders, or the one that's studying at Bible college. It's not just given to me. It's given to everybody. You know why? Because we ought to understand what reconciliation is all about. And then we go with that knowledge of what it is to know that I was separated from God. I was at enmity with God. There was a wall of partition between me and God. And not only that, but to my fellow human beings. But now I have this ministry. And the ministry is that we are to reconcile the world to God. Not to a religious system. We aren't to trying to improve people and trying to make them at least look good on the outside. We are to reconcile them to God, and that's our ministry. Our ministry is that we will be planting and watering the Word of God in the lives of people that they can be reconciled to God. People say, what do you do there? What are the things, what type of projects do you do there? Now, there are times we help people in Congo, but we don't do things for the whole community so that we can just say, hey, let us give you clean water, but not preach the gospel to you. We want a balance of the things that we do. Hey, let's just build something and do something to help people. Listen, we want to do those things, but most of all, we want to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. Bringing them to God. Reconciling them with their Creator. So, we have this ministry. Then verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. That's where it is. I can't reconcile people. Jesus Christ can do that. I just bring that reconciliation to their doorstep. I just bring that reconciliation to their lives, and so that they can be reconciled with God. Imputing their transgressions unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God has committed to you, your keeping, the word of God, the word of reconciliation. So we have a ministry of reconciliation. We must use words. We must communicate to people this reconciliation. Not only that, it talks about imputed the words of reconciliation. And then verse 20 says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. And through God that beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be he reconciled unto God. We are ambassadors. We have a ministry. We have the words right here. Everything that God, that you need to do the ministry of reconciliation, you have. You don't need to go to Bible college to get it. You don't need an advanced degree in it. You just need to live the life that God has made in you anew through Christ. Here it is. He says, ambassadors. Are you living for Christ? Are you an ambassador? You know, when an ambassador, U.S. ambassador would go to Congo, it was a big thing. Yeah. Maybe from this side, it's like, oh, let's just send so-and-so. He can be an ambassador. It's a small thing. But when he gets over to the country of Congo, he's an important man. I mean, he's important. They listen to what he has to say. They ask him very difficult questions. They put a lot of pressure on him. Why? Because he's connected to a big country. He's connected to the president of the United States of America. That's how people see him. So can we be seen the same, that when we are sharing the gospel, that people know that we are connected to a God who loves them? And we are sharing this gospel, and we are fulfilling the ministry of reconciliation. That's my challenge to you this morning from God's word, is that we have this great responsibility of preaching reconciliation. We have preaching peace, and we have the ministry of reconciliation. Preaching peace, preaching Christ. The ministry of reconciliation is presenting them to Christ so they can be reconciled to God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this church who has been part of missions, and that they will continue to be part of missions, and that they will fulfill this ministry of reconciliation through the giving of their finances, to the giving of their time, to prayer, to really applying themselves to missions, and not only in other parts of the world, but here within their own community. We thank you for their outreaches. We thank you for their involvement in this community, a very needful community, a community that is in need of Christ. And we pray that you will bless them, use them, help them to realize that they hold in their hands the words of reconciliation which you have given to us. Lord, we are not the peace. We just carry the words of peace, which teach us who is peace, Jesus Christ, who accomplished this on the cross. Lord, we thank you for this. We pray that we will be responsible with what we have been given, to be able to wisely use our time, our talents, our abilities to share the gospel. For we pray this all in Christ's name.